Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
So people hear from God differently, and I'm not going to get into all the scriptures because we've got other stuff we need to get into today. But if you look in your Bible, just two really good examples of two really incredible men of God. The Bible says that Moses first heard God speak out of a burning bush, out of a flame, is where he heard God speak. Later on, the Bible says that God spoke to Moses by descending on a mountain with fire and smoke and lightning. And it says, and God spoke in the thunder, right? So when God speaks to Moses, it's a big deal. It's a real big deal. My thought is probably Moses was one of those kind of ADD kind of people, and he can't really focus on anything. So God's got to be really loud and boisterous in order to get his attention, right? Some of y'all are Moseses in the room today. I am also a Moses. But then there's Elijah, and the Bible says that God spoke to Elijah. But when God spoke to Elijah, it says that there was fire, and there was an earthquake, and there was lightning, and there was all this big stuff. But the Bible says, and God wasn't in any of it. But instead, he was in a little whisper in Elijah's ear. So I want you to see something. God spoke to both men, but he spoke to them in different ways. And he probably spoke to them in ways that they needed to hear him at that moment. So don't ever think that you're less of a person or you can't hear God because someone else heard God in a certain way, right? That doesn't mean that you're going to hear God in that same manner. So that God can speak to you however he wants to speak to you. Those of you that have kids, you know that there are times you talk to your kids in certain ways and times when you talk to them in different ways. There's times whenever you're gentle and you're soft and you're a little whisper to your kids, and other times when you're loud and you're boisterous with your kids. And so you do what you have to do to get in touch with the people you're trying to talk to. The other thing I want to give you is the first was kind of an encouragement. The second is a warning. I want you to be careful. And this is personal, right? This is something I feel like is good. But I want you to be careful saying God said. The small phrase God said, and then whatever you put on the end of it, is probably the most encouraging thing, but at the same time, one of the most dangerous things that you can ever say, a phrase that you can ever use. The reason is it can be manipulated. I could get up here as a pastor and say, God said whatever. And then all of a sudden you, as the congregation, now you have to decide, did God really say that? And how are you going to argue with what God said? If I said, I say this, you can argue with that. But you can't argue what God said. And so what happens a lot of times is we see cults started because one man said, God said. One man said, God said. Or we see people go way far away from the Bible because one man said, God said. We see husbands and wives have issues because one of them said God said and the other one can't argue with what God said. So what I try to do in my life, and Perry does the same thing, is we constantly say, if we feel like God's speaking to us, we constantly say, I feel like God might be saying. Now you see the difference? I leave room not for God to be wrong, but for me to be wrong. Because guess what? I'm flawed, right? I'm a messed up person. And so I don't trust myself all the time. I always trust God, but I don't always trust. Really, Kim, you going amen whenever I say that? All the things I say, you amen when I say I'm wrong. And so I think it's one of those things we've got to be very careful. So whenever I speak for God, I always say, I think God might be saying, I feel like God might say, this is something that is really strong in my heart, and it could be God in this moment. For you or for whatever. Does that make sense? So be very careful with saying God said anything. Okay? Now, with that being said, let's talk about a couple of reasons why we might not be hearing what God's saying. Go ahead, Per.
So I'm going to pick up here. So as we've been in ministry for a long time, just friends of ours, we've heard over and over, I can't hear God. God doesn't speak to me. I wonder why he doesn't speak to me. And I truly believe and I know that God wants to speak to every single one of you. He doesn't pick people that he speaks to and then people that he doesn't speak to. He wants to have a personal relationship with you, and a relationship requires communication. And so there's a few things that we believe that may hinder you. If you're not hearing from God, that may hinder you. We're going to get later into how to hear Him. But the first thing that may be hindering you from hearing God is simple, but it's sin. And as you're sitting here today and you think, man, I'm not hearing God. God's not speaking to me. I want you to just do a quick check. Like, is there a sin in your life that you haven't gotten help from, that you haven't repented from, that you're not working on to be healed from? And so that can be something where you are choosing to stop God from speaking to you because of sin. So if you've got sin in your life, you need to make that decision. That's the first step to hearing God, is repenting. And the Word says that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then that opens the door for God to speak to you.
Let me step in right here for just a second. Whenever I was younger, and I think this might be a good thought for you, when I was younger, for some reason I couldn't hear out of my right ear. And I was struggling to hear, and I didn't understand what was going on because I felt like I was way too young to be losing hearing in my ear. And so I remember going to the doctor one time, and when I went to the doctor, he looked in my ear, and he said, "I see the problem," right? And there was some buildup in my ear. Now, this is gross. It was wax buildup, right? And he said, "I see the problem." He said, "Do you?" And I said, "There's no way I've got wax in my ears. I clean my ears all the time. Like I'm crazy about cleaning my ears out." And because there was this girl in high school, and she literally had earwax that would run out of her ears. So gross. And then it would dry and look like a little earring, but it wasn't. It was a little God-made earring. And so... And so that was definitely not God speaking through me right then. But he said I had wax. And so he said the problem is you use Q-tips too much and you have impacted wax into your ear. And he got this plastic syringe full of warm water and jammed it into my brain and just hit the plunger. And when he did, like, all of my brains came out. And that plug of earwax that literally was as big as the tip of my pinky. Like, it was huge from just years of Q-tipping all the time and apparently doing it wrong. And all of a sudden, as soon as he popped that out of my ear, it was like I could hear everything. I could hear everything. Now, a couple of quick thoughts. You may have sin in your life today, and it's keeping you from hearing what God wants to say to you. And sometimes we think, oh, I'll just get rid of it myself. I'll just take care of it myself. But sometimes you need to go to someone else. And that's why we preach so often about having small groups, and then even smaller than that, having accountability partners. People that you can go to and say, "Hey man, I messed up. I got this problem in my life. Will you pray with me about that? I need to be able to confess some stuff." And the Bible says that when we confess to God, we get forgiveness. But when we confess to man, we get healing. And so I had to go to a doctor to get him to help me to be able to hear again. And so maybe for some of you, that's something you're dealing with right off the bat. And so maybe you need to be thinking, "Hey, at the end of the service today, I need to go pray with somebody. I need to get some earwax out of my ear." Amen. Go ahead, Per.
The second hindrance could be just clutter in our life. Gabriel makes fun of me because my house by no means is always clean at all. But if there's just junk everywhere, like I cannot focus. I'm cleaning the kitchen, cleaning the bedroom, folding the clothes. Like I'm just here and there and everywhere. But I think the same applies spiritually to us, that if we have so much going on in our lives and in our minds, that there's so much clutter that we're too busy to hear God. If we're not carving out that time to pray and even just to listen and to be quiet, we're not giving God the opportunity to speak. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage you too, like if there's things in your life that you think, "Man, I can take this out," or maybe I need to get up just a little bit earlier, or maybe when I'm in the car, I need to spend this time with the Lord and give Him the opportunity to speak to you. The third hindrance can be disobedience. And disobedience, sometimes you may relate back to sin, but it may be not obeying something that God's asked you to do or asked you not to do. And it may not be necessarily a sin. It just may not be doing what He said. So I have a little personal example. The Lord over the past few months has been speaking just little things in my life. I think I shared this with you a little bit. Little things in my life to get rid of. Just he would just be like, "Perry, you don't need this," or "Take a break from this," or "Don't do this." And I would obey sometimes, and other times I would think, well, that's not a sin. Like, that's not wrong, you know. But I would continue to hear His Spirit say that. And I would think, okay, well, I'll just do it later. Well, finally, I did obey. And I will never forget, it was probably 3 weeks ago, I think, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, I need you to be obedient to me the first time I ask. And, whew, that was hard to hear. And we have a gracious and loving God. But so many times He speaks to us, and we're like, why isn't God speaking to us again? Well, you haven't been obedient to what He told you to do the first time.
Right.
So He's waiting on you to be obedient. And I think about my children, because when the Holy Spirit spoke that to me, I thought, I said that to my children so many times. I need you to obey Mom the first time I ask. Well, why do I need for them to obey me the first time I ask? It's because I'm protecting them from something, or I need to get something accomplished. There's a mission. I need to get something done. The same is with the Lord. When He asks us to do something, when we do hear His voice and we're not obedient, we're stopping a mission from being accomplished, or we're taking that hedge of protection over us. So listen to Him and be obedient the first time He asks.
So if that's some of the ways that are hindering us, so how do we hear God? And I want to kind of go into this today. It's funny. I wrote down some ways that she and I talk about all the time on how we hear God. And then when I was looking through the book that we're all kind of going through together in our small groups, he lists a lot of the same exact ways. So when you go to your small group and you discuss today's message, you'll be able to fall right in line with what he's saying, because this is the same way God speaks to us. And I want to go ahead and just say right off the bat, like, we never, I don't think, have ever heard, or at least I haven't, the audible Gabriel voice of God, right? Like, I don't think I've ever heard that. Some of you have. And man, that is so cool and so awesome. And I wish that was me, you know. But when I started looking through this list, I thought, man, I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I've heard God a lot in a variety of different ways. And so that's cool with me. The first way is through His Word. This is a big one. Like, if there's one way God speaks all the time, it's through His Word. His Word never lies. His Word never goes away. The Bible says it's a foundation you can build your entire life on. That doesn't just mean your spiritual life. That means your work life, your married life, your parenting life, your whatever life. You can build it all on God's Word. His Word is perfect. And so He always speaks to us through His Word. And I want to just read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Cutting," this is key right here, listen to this, "cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, it exposes our inmost thoughts and desires." I want to look at soul and spirit. What is your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. It's your feeling. It's your desire. That's your soul, right? That's your soul. It's my desires, my feelings on something. But the spirit is the Holy Spirit in me. Now, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions sometimes is in conflict with what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Sometimes your soul wants this, but the Spirit says, no, you go here. And there's a conflict there. So what does the Word of God do? The Word of God divides the two of them. It says, I can split this hair, right? Like, I can divide it. And so now you can see, oh man, that was just my feelings, my emotions. That wasn't really God. Oh, this is the Holy Spirit. This is what He's speaking to me. And so God speaks through His Word in that manner. There's been, and she might share this later as an example, I don't know, but it's so funny. So she and I grew up around each other, and we all always had the same friends. We went to the same church, but we didn't start dating until we were older. But I remember, especially, I guess, when we were older, how many guys would come up to her all the time and just be like, I feel like God told me that we're going to get married. Hey, fellas, that's not a pickup line, right? Like, that doesn't work. I'm just going to go ahead and help you out. You single guys, don't let God get your dates for you like that, right? He can help you in other ways, but not like that. And these guys kept coming up to her and saying, I feel like God wants us to get married. And I remember one time in particular, her dad was very protective. Her dad's here today. And so, like, her dad was very protective of her, even to the point the first time I asked to marry her, he said no to me. He said no. Who says no to me? He does, right? And I think it's so funny that he said no to me the first time I asked to marry her, but one of these randos came up to him one time and said, hey, I want to date your daughter. And he was like, yeah, go for it. Because he thought it was funny. He thought it was funny because he knew that Perry was going to reject him, and that was just sadistic. And I just want you to know that was not good of you, just FYI. And you're old, so you probably don't remember that, but she does. And she tells me all the time. I think it's hilarious. And so I'm going to do that to Emma one day. But what happens is you're going to hear this sometimes. You're going to hear this voice. You're going to have this thought. And you're going to say, ooh, that's got to be God. And you run with it. The problem is it was you the whole time. It wasn't God. It was you. It was your desire. But it wasn't God's plan. And so that's okay. You're going to miss it. And we're all going to miss it. But when we're trying to hear God's voice, I would always go back to God's word and see, does God's word confirm what I just heard in my heart? There are things that I will do in making decisions for my family or for my jobs or whatever it is that I'm doing. And I'll think, oh, I need to do this. I feel like this is God. But before I say it publicly, I will go back to his word and see if it lines up with what his word says. Because if it doesn't line up with what the word says, then I'm wrong. It's just my desire. I was in another city one time, and I remember a bunch of guys in our church just decided that on a whim, it was okay to like start doing drugs because God said it was okay. Just because God creates the cocaine plant, right, the coca plant, doesn't mean it's good for you to do cocaine. Just FYI. And they never went back to God's word. They just went by their desire. They never went back to God's word. Do you see what happens there? So we got to go back to God's word for that confirmation of his voice. Even if someone, and again, someone speaks over me. If you come to me, if Sarah Wilson, who I feel like is as close to God as possible with just being on earth, right? And she loves it when I say that. If Sarah Wilson comes up to me and I trust her to hear God's voice, if she comes up to me and says, Gabriel, I feel like God said you need to do this, this, and this. Even with Sarah, I'm going to go back to God's word. And if what she said doesn't line up with what he said, then she's wrong, as sweet as she is. She just missed it, right? And so it's important to go back to God's word. Go ahead, babe. You got something to say on that.
I was reading James probably last week, and I read this chapter, and then it really hit a chord with me, and I read it again, and I read it again. So I've read it three times, but it's really good. It's James 1, 22-25, and it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. It kind of goes back to that obedience thing. Otherwise, you are fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free and you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it.
I think sometimes we forget that God's word is where he's already spoken. Yeah. And so God, we think, okay, I need to witness to somebody, but God didn't tell me to witness to him. Last time I checked, the word of God says, tell everybody about me. You don't have to pray about it. Just do it. It was already spoken. But we want to get some kind of fresh new word. Now, yes, God can tell you to witness to one person in particular and say one particular thing. Sure, I believe in that. But if you're ever wondering if I need to tell someone about Jesus, the answer is always yes. If you ever wonder, do I need to pray for somebody? Yes, it's in his word. Like his word was established a long time ago. It hasn't changed. So just do what his word says. Oh, I wonder if it's okay for me to, you know, have a girlfriend on the side with my wife. No, it's in his word. You don't commit adultery. You don't have to pray about that. It's in the word of God. And I think sometimes we get so stupid in life because we start doing stuff outside of God's word. And then we start wondering what God thinks. You know what he thinks. And some of that stuff, just obey. When he already spoke it 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, he already spoke it. Just live it. Don't pray about it. It's there. If you prayed about it, he'd say, man, you are dumb. Like, I already said that. Right? No, he wouldn't say that. He might to some of us. The other way he speaks to us is through his people. And just a couple of quick people that he's going to speak to. He's going to speak through your spouse if you're married, right? Hey, look, just FYI, if you're not married, that person that you're dating is not your spouse. You are not in covenant with that person. So that person does not speak for God, for you. Just throwing that one out there. That was free. But your spouse is going to speak to you sometimes, and God will speak to your spouse for you. Now, I understand I'm the head of the household spiritually. I get that. But even still, I believe God can speak to her for our family. And so I'm going to listen to her. But here's the key. The key is you got to be humble and teachable. It's hard sometimes whenever your spouse says, I feel like God says this. There are times when Perry has come up to me and said, I feel like God says our family needs to do this. And right off the bat, if I allow my flesh, I'm going to say, I'm the man of the house. God should be saying that to me. Nope. Be humble, be teachable. And I say, okay, I can pray about that. I can agree with that. I can see where that's a positive thing from God for us to do. And so you got to learn to be humble and teachable whenever your spouse is speaking. But again, going back up to that first part, don't be manipulative. Don't go to your spouse and say, God said you need to do this. The problem is there's nowhere for her to go with that. She has to do it because God said it, right? So that's when you say, I feel like God said, and that would help you both out. Another person that God's going to speak through is your parents. And I get it, like, right off the bat, Gabriel, wherever you are, listen to your father, son. Wake up. Your parents are going to speak God's word over your life. If your parents are Christians and they're praying for you and they're seeking God's best for you, then God's going to speak through them for you. And it doesn't matter, even whenever you get out of the house, there are times when God's going to use your parents. Now, I get it. You're not under their covering anymore. But Jesus was 30 years old starting his ministry. And his mama said, turn the water into wine. And Jesus said, it's not my time. And his mama said, do it anyway. And he told everybody else, y'all do what she said. Let's get some water. You know, let's do this thing. What happened? Jesus even listened to his own mama because it's important to understand that your parents are that saint, that spiritual authority. Now, as I've gotten out of the house, my dad doesn't call me up and say, son, God told me you need to do this, this, and this. My dad will call me up and say, hey, I was praying for you today, and I felt like God was saying this. Won't you pray about that? Won't you see what God says to you? I'm just letting you know what God was speaking to me. The other person that we need to look out for is our authorities. So it's easy to say authorities when you're talking about a pastor, or you're talking about a teacher. But what about when it's a government official that you know is corrupt and bad? Do we just disobey that person because we know they're bad? No, the Bible says that God has put them in authority over us for a reason. Now, if your authority is wanting you to commit sin, sure, you can not do that, but you still need to do it respectfully. But at the end of the day, God has put authorities over us. And where I thought this was so crazy is I've been reading through the Old Testament in the prophets, and sometimes the prophets are kind of annoying because it's just a lot of prophecies against people or whatever. But the other day, as I was reading, they said, hey, Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon is going to come. He's going to take over the city. You need to submit to him. He's not godly. He's not from me. But I have put him in place for a reason, and you need to submit to him. And I thought, man, that's got to be tough. That's got to be tough. Well, but Pastor, you know, it's Republican. It's a Democrat. It's a conservative. It's a liberal. God doesn't see those things. God sees people. And he's got a plan, and he uses people to accomplish his plan. And if he says submit, you submit. That's a hard one. But sometimes God speaks to us through people, and so we need to be paying attention to what people are saying. Perry has something to say, and I just want to preface this by saying, she said this to me one time, and it absolutely changed my life. It absolutely changed my life. It may not be life-changing to you right now. I hope it is. But what she's about to say changed my life, because I grew up in a church where we had lots of people coming in and lots of people praying for people and lots of people saying, God said this. And a lot of it was really, really good. But what she's about to say really helped me rethink the way I listen to people. Go ahead, babe.
So, like I said earlier, I really believe that God wants to speak to you. And so I believe that he is going to speak to you first. And so whenever someone comes to you and says, I believe the Lord has said this about you, it should confirm what God's already speaking to you. It shouldn't be completely off the wall. And I'm talking about if someone comes to you and gives you an encouraging word or something like that, I feel like that's different. But if it's a life-changing decision or something, I guess real specific, it should confirm what the Lord's already spoken to me. God doesn't want to have a relationship with me through him. He wants
right.
to have a relationship with me.
That's
period.
Right. That's
period.
Right.
And so I believe that if God wants to speak to me, he's going to speak to me. And then Gabriel or you may come to me and say, hey, I really feel like the Lord is saying this about you. And I'm going to think, yes, that is exactly what he already spoke to me. That, you know, just lets me know again that that was the Lord.
Can you tell that story you told me that was kind of funny about the two people coming?
Oh, this was funny. Gabriel made reference to a guy saying that he was supposed to
She's good looking, y'all. She's good. She had to deal with this. There's problems with good looking people right here.
One time it was funny. This one guy did come up to me and say that. And then there was some strange adults that I knew. And they thought they heard from the Lord and said I was supposed to marry this other guy. And I looked at them and I said, well, that is so strange, because God told someone else that I was supposed to marry him last week, and now you're telling me that I'm supposed to marry this guy this week. None of y'all are hearing God. that's the way I just planned it.
God is not confused.
Not gonna happen.
Right? God knows what he's talking about. We don't. The other thing, and we got to kind of hurry through this. I took too long telling stories. The other thing, that way God speaks to us is through doors, either open or closed. Right? Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. I think I just read this morning. Actually, it's really good. It says, write this letter to the church in Philadelphia. A different Philadelphia, for those of y'all that are thinking it's America. This is a message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. Now, I feel like God speaks to us a lot through doors that are open or closed. When we were doing all this church stuff, we prayed, God, if this is not your will, close the door. And he did for periods of time. And we said, God, if this is your will, open the door. And there were times when he opened the door. But here's the key to all of it, is you've got to be willing to be, number one, sincere when you ask, and number two, content with the answer. We got a lot of people trying to pray their way through a closed door that God closed. They said, God, if this isn't your will, close the door. And then that guy walked away from you. And you said, God, give him back. Ugh. It's not going to happen. You can't pray through a closed door. And then you're going to get mad at God for not answering your prayer when you're the problem, not him. So when we pray, God, open or close the door, you need to be ready for him to do one or the other. The other thing he'll do sometimes is he'll open a door and we stand at the edge of the door and we keep praying, asking God to let us walk through it. He said, I already opened the door. What are you waiting on? But because we're scared, we don't take that step. Right? And so we need to understand today, there's going to be open doors and closed doors. And I think it's good for you to ask for them. Ask for God to do it, but be sincere and then be content with the answer he gives you. All right. The next one, and Perry's got some stuff to share when I get done with this next point about all of that, how it all fits together. But the next one is by his peace. He will speak to you by his peace. John chapter 14, 26 through 27 says this. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I've told you. Verse 27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. Listen to this phrase. I love this. I found this in that book. It says, his peace will accompany the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you're asking for God to speak to you, and the Holy Spirit is working in your life, and he's trying to tell you stuff, he will bring a peace into your heart and mind that you don't understand, that you can't comprehend, but it will be a peace to let you know that this is a green light for me. And if that peace is stirred up, if that peace is muddy waters, if that peace is a raging storm in your heart, then guess what? That's a red light for you. God is not speaking that over you. And so it's important to see that he'll use peace to stop you or push you. Go ahead, babe.
So I really feel like God does speak to me a lot through peace and just being unsettled. Like if I feel like I'm stirring, he'll speak to me. So a few years ago, I just felt, a stirring in my spirit, kind of like, I guess the Holy Spirit let me know that something was about to come up, that was about to be a change. And I knew for a fact, I don't know how, well, I guess the Lord, but it didn't have anything to do with the church. And usually that's where it starts from, but it had to do with my personal life. And so I was in my car, I remember praying, and I say, God, you know, if there's a change coming concerning my job or something like that, I'm not going to pursue the change. You're going to have to let them pursue me. And I remember saying those exact words. And as soon as I prayed, the enemy just planted that seed. No one's going to pursue you. You know, nothing's happening. So I just kind of dismissed it. Well, 2 days after I prayed that prayer, I got an email from a principal and an assistant principal at a different school and just asked would I call them. And people come to my room for different reasons from other schools sometimes. And so I didn't think it was a big deal. I went down to the workroom while I was at work and called. And they asked if I would come in for an interview. And I thought, God, when I was praying for a specific place, and it wasn't this place. I said, God, if I go somewhere else, I'll go here. I was kind of telling God what he was going to do. And so, I told him, I said, well, let me talk to my husband, and I'll call you back. So Gabriel and I prayed about it, and Gabriel encouraged me. He said, Perry, why don't you just go in for the interview? And I said, you know, I don't really know if I should. And he said, well, go in. And he said, God may kind of speak to you through that. And so I did. And I was hoping I wouldn't like them, you know, because I really wasn't looking for change. I didn't want to change. I wasn't unhappy. But I just felt like there was going to be change. But I didn't think it would be this particular place. So anyway, I went in and I sought godly counsel. I talked to my parents. I asked people to pray for me. And several of them were like, this is God. And some people were like, I don't know, Perry. And so I just kept seeking God for myself, and I never got just a clear answer. So I called this principal and assistant principal back, and I said, thank you so much, you know, but I really just haven't gotten a clear answer from God. Like, I'm content where I am, and I told him that. And so I said, thank you for the offer, but I'm just going to be happy where I am. I'm going to be content. And I did not tell Gabriel this for probably a month and a half or close to 2 months. But after I called him and told him that, I really had zero peace. I thought that I'd made the wrong decision. And after it was just eating me alive, I remember laying in the bed beside Gabriel and I said, Gabriel, I really feel like I made the wrong decision with this job. And he said, what? And I said, yes. And I said, I just have not had peace about it since I did it. And he said to me, Perry, God can open doors and he can close doors. So if he wants you there, he will open that door again. And if he doesn't, you're going to be okay. Or he may open the door somewhere else. And so we prayed again about that. And then 2 days after that.
Whoa. You said, no, this particular school system, yeah, once you turn them down, they don't ever call you back.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Let's, yeah, but I mean.
And that's when all my faith rose up, and I said, God has the key of David. What he opens, no man can close. Come on, somebody.
Anyway, this is my story.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, so 2 days after we had laid in the bed and prayed, that assistant principal called me back with the principal on the phone, and she said, Mr. Wright, will you please reconsider your decision? And Gabriel looked at me, and again, I hung up, and I said, let me talk to my husband. And he said, Perry, this is God. Like, and I just want to encourage you in this. The first time when I declined, I was truly trying to seek God's will. It wasn't that I was afraid or nervous or scared. I truly wanted to know that this was God. This was a huge decision, not just for me, but for my children and for Gabriel. And so I wanted to know that it was God. But I want to encourage you in this. God is in charge of the doors.
Mm-hmm.
And so he can open them and close them easily. Do you know what I'm saying? So if you feel like I've missed God or maybe I'm not sure, just know that God is faithful to his children that are truly trying to seek him. And he's not trying to trip you up or make you miss him or let you miss him. He's going to reopen the door. And so through that, I walked through that door. And so just know that. And after I did, I'll tell you this, I was nervous about it. My children had a hard time adjusting to that decision that I made, or that God made for me too, but that I made. But the whole time, I had peace about it. I was nervous. That was a new transition, but I had the peace. So just know that.
Before we end today, I want to give you one a verse that's not in the notes. So Sabrina, don't worry about it. But when she was talking, it made me think about Deuteronomy 32:11, and it says that God is like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young. Another version says that stirs up its nest. And so what happens with the eagle is when the babies are getting bigger and bigger and they need to start flying, they like to stay in the nest because it's warm and it's comfortable and it's safe. So what the mama does is she stirs up the nest to where there's all these sharp sticks pointing in there where it's not comfortable for the eagles anymore, and they have to get out of the nest. But the Bible then goes on to say, so he spreads his wings to take them up and carry them safely on his pinions. In other words, that eagle will spread out its wings and help those babies. They've got to get out of the nest. They've got to learn how to fly, but the mama's going to help them to be able to fly and take care of them. And there's going to be times in your life when you're going to feel God stir up the nest, the comfort zone that you're in, and you're going to be uncomfortable where you are. You're not going to have peace where you are. And that might be God saying it's time for you to make a move. It's time for you to make a change. And so that's just another thought on that peace thing, that sometimes it's peace, but sometimes it's a storm. You know, it's a lack of peace that you recognize that's God doing something in me. The last one is this. And you don't have to take notes on this one. It's already in your notes. It's God speaks to us in the whisper. In the whisper. Sometimes I call that the knowing or the nudging. And what that means to me is sometimes there's going to be times in life when you just know something. You don't know how you know it. You don't know why you know it, but you just know it. Right? Like for example, there's going to be times whenever you're hanging out and you just know that you need to pray for somebody. And you don't know why you know that. You don't know how you know it, but it's a kind of a nudge. It's kind of a little whisper in your heart. There's this pulling or this pushing inside of you. And you think, I just got to pray for this person right now. And you stop and you pray, right? And there's times whenever God is going to speak to your heart like that. And it's not loud. It's not big. It's not thunder and lightning. It's just small. Whisper, nudge, knowing. You know where I hear this the most is at prayer time at the end of a service. There's been plenty of times in my life as a pastor's son and then also as a pastor when I would be standing down at the front or wherever in my seat and whoever was preaching would be talking and they would be saying, you need to come down to the front and get prayer. You need this or whatever. And on the inside, my heart would start beating a little bit faster, you know, and I would just feel this, oh, I got to go down to the front. I need to get somebody to pray for me. We talked earlier about having sin in your life. When you got that sin in your life, you're going to find this pulling saying, I got to confess this. I got to get this out. I've got to get prayer. I got to get help, right? There's going to be that little whisper, that little nudge. And it's not always bad things. Sometimes the nudge hits me or the whisper hits me when I'm standing in line. I've shared this story before. I was standing in line one time at Five Guys back when it was open. And you can tell I'm kind of hurt by it. It's not being open anymore. And I stand in line at Five Guys and there was this man in front of me. And I just felt like I need to buy his meal for him today. There's been times I've been standing in line. One time I was standing in line at the grocery store and I felt like God wanted me to buy this lady's groceries. And it was really easy because she only had like one thing. And I said, I'm going to get hers too. And then she pulled out a basket that I didn't see and there's like more stuff. And I was like, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, like, where's God's word? And so there's going to be times when you're going to feel that nudging and that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. In just a second, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And we're going to all pray. We're going to say, God, what are you speaking to me today? And I'm going to have people come down to the front. And they're going to want to pray with you. And listen, for a lot of us, God is speaking to you right now. And he's drawing you to a place of help. He's drawing you to a place of prayer. He might be drawing you to a place where someone's going to pray over you. And they're going to say a word over you that's going to confirm something he's been saying for months now. And you're just thinking, I just need a confirmation. And so God wants to speak to you. He wants to heal you. He wants to do a work in your life today. But what happens is we get to an end of a service and we're too concerned about, you know, our fantasy team and lunch. And we're too concerned about, I got to get home. Or we're too concerned about what other people are thinking or what other people are doing. And we bypass probably the most important part of the message. And that's the part where you and I get to respond to what God's saying to us. The worship is good. The preaching is okay. But it's the prayer that we need. It's that response that we need. So why don't you stand up with me today? I've got prayer team people that are going to come down to the front. And they want to pray with you this morning. And if there's a lot of people that need prayer, they'll just wait in line. Someone will get to you. I'll come to you. And if there's nobody getting prayer, and you're the only one feeling the nudge, just be brave and be bold and say, I need prayer for something. Maybe you need prayer for healing today. Maybe you need prayer for a stressful situation today. Maybe it is a sin issue. Maybe you're not serving God today. And you say, you know what? I don't understand it all. I don't know what we're doing today, but I've got to start serving God. I need to hear His voice in my life. Maybe you're walking in some kind of disobedience today. Whatever it is, somebody's here to pray with you and help you and love you and speak good things over you today. So we're going to sing a song in just a second. And as we sing that song, you're going to come down to the front if you need prayer. And we're going to pray with you, and then you're going to be dismissed in just a minute. But why don't we start off by just closing our eyes. And let's just pray this prayer in our own way. I'll pray it, but you pray in your own way. God, I need you to speak to me today. I need you to speak to my heart today. God, it may be right now. It may be a stirring. It may be a nudging. It may be a whisper, God. Whatever it is, I need you to speak to my heart today. Right now, I need you to speak to me. I need change. I need transformation. I need healing. Whatever it is that you need today, let Him speak to your heart right now. There's some of you, you may have been praying that God, if you would just open up a door for me to get help, if you would just open up a door for me to confess, if you just open up a door for somebody to pray with me, then I would get prayer. Then I would walk through that door. Let me tell you something. The door is open right now for you. We got to be bold and walk through it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.